Hey, welcome to this, the second in our series called The Jesus Way. In the first episode, John was exploring what it looks like for us to form our life around the habits of Jesus, some of the spiritual formation practices that Jesus put into his life. And therefore, as followers of him, encouraged us and challenged us in many respects to think about the rhythms of our life so that we might become more like Jesus. In this, the second episode, we're going to be exploring one of those disciplines that is so crucial, actually some would say foundational, to our life as disciples of Jesus. For without it, we don't understand God, and we don't understand our life and our place within God's purposes and God's plan. We end up doing things on our own agenda, our own ways, and we end up actually creating a worldview of our own making. Whereas as disciples of Jesus, we've stepped out of a world in which we are our own king, and we step into a new realm in the spiritual sense, a new realm in which Jesus is king, and we orient our whole life under his leadership and lordship, so that in the world in which we currently live, we may demonstrate something radically different. So what is this spiritual practice that I'm talking about? Well, it's the Bible. It's reading the Bible or studying the Bible. Now, you may be thinking at this moment in time, oh, that, Ian, that sounds really scary, studying the Bible. I've not been to Bible college. I don't have resources to do that. I don't even know where to start. Well, don't worry, you're not on your own. There are many people who would feel exactly the same. And if I'm honest with you, and I like to be honest with you, there are times where I read the text and I go, I just don't understand that. What is that all about? And so we're going to look at why this book is so crucial, even at times where it seems so daunting and we maybe don't know where to start. And so in this video, I'm really going to concentrate on the why the scriptures are given to us, so that we might be able to be the kind of people that God has called us to be. And there's going to be some resources included in this with this video that will be a helpful how for you just to begin to explore engaging with the Bible. It seems scary, but I also want to just encourage you to think through that this is a gift to us. This book is a gift of God to us, because it isn't simply about a list of rules of do's and don'ts, but it is God's self-revelation. He reveals himself to us in the scripture. And so if we want to know what he's like, if we want to know what Jesus is like, yes, prayer is crucially important. Yes, community is so crucially important, but engagement with God's word is so vital, because it is through the word of God that he reveals himself to us as the Spirit of God makes the text alive. And so if you're feeling a little bit scared at this moment, don't worry, because we do this together. We do this in community. We do this walking alongside one another, those with as part of our community who are more experienced as followers of Jesus, and maybe more experienced with engaging with God's word. We are here to help and to serve, so that together we grow to be the kind of people that Jesus has called us to be. And I want to tell you a very quick story based from the Bible, but it's based in Luke 24. And Jesus is encountered with a couple of disciples that initially didn't recognize him. These two disciples had been walking from Jerusalem to a place called Emmaus, and they were walking along the road. And as they were walking along the road, they were arguing about the events that had unfolded. They didn't understand it. They were disappointed that it seemed to be that Jesus, the one who'd held so much promise, had died, and that was it. What was all that about? They were saying. And so they were arguing, and this stranger, so it seems, draws alongside them and begins to ask them, what are you arguing about? And they begin to explain the last few days. They don't understand that he'd not heard of what had been going on, but they didn't understand it was Jesus. And they kept walking, and as they walked, Jesus began to, he gave them a gentle rebuke, and they still didn't get it that this stranger was Jesus. But he began to reveal from Moses, from the writings of Moses right the way through the Old Testament, and began to talk about how these scriptures revealed Jesus, how he is revealed in the scriptures. And so they get to the end of their destination, the two disciples, and invite Jesus to stay with them, and he does. They break bread, and all of a sudden their eyes are opened and they see Jesus. And Jesus disappears in a moment like that. He's gone. The resurrected Jesus it can do amazing things. He is all powerful. He was always all powerful. But this Jesus, he disappears. And so as the disciples ponder, they reflected, didn't our hearts burn within us as he revealed the scriptures to us? Oh, amazing, that sense of heart burning. I think that's our desire really for us as a community, is that our hearts would burn as we engage with God in the scriptures, that they come alive to us in ways that transform us and shape us to be the kind of people that Jesus has called us to be. And so I want to just base the remainder of this talk on four things that we find in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. But I want to read a chunk of scripture. We can maybe unpack that in groups and unpack that, the rest of it together at some point. But there are four things in 2 Timothy 3:16 that I think are really helpful. So let me read the passage to you, and then we'll focus on that one verse. But you have followed my teachings, and this is Paul talking to his young mentee called Timothy. But you have followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance, along with the persecutions and sufferings that came to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Evil people and imposters will become worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. You know those who taught you, and you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so Paul highlights a number of just some things at the end of this passage, four things that are really crucial to our discipleship and our engagement with scripture. First and foremost, he says that the scriptures are there to teach us. They're to give us instruction. Now, we can't escape that. Earlier I said that they're not a list of do's and don'ts, and that's true. And yet the scriptures do inform our life and our lifestyle and our pattern of behavior and our way of thinking, because they bring us into God's worldview and bring us into a sense of understanding how God has designed us to live in relationship with him and relationship with one another. And so we have to take this as a book of teaching. It teaches us the ways of God. And so we can do that together. We can look at those principles and we begin to apply God's teaching to our life that forms us. And we'll do that together in community. So teaching is a crucial part of why we engage with God's word. The second thing that is really important is this sense of rebuking. Now, I guarantee you, the moment I said that, you and I were probably freaking out a little bit. What is this about rebuking? Because nobody likes being rebuked and nobody likes discipline. And yet Hebrews tells us that God disciplines those he loves. He corrects those he loves, because he wants the best for those he loves. And so when we receive a rebuke from the scriptures, it's God's purposes for us, so that he might reveal that which needs to be changed. You see, because if we're not aware of the issues or the sin in our own life, then we're not going to be able to respond in such a way that it brings us even into a greater place of freedom and to become the kind of people that God's called us to be, because he wants to liberate us from the sin that so easily entangles. And sure, for sure, that's the moment we accept Christ, we are forgiven and set free. But we all know that there's a process that goes through, that we go through in terms of transformation. And so the idea of rebuking in the scripture is really important. But the really important thing is that we don't, it doesn't leave it there. Because then he goes on to this this third thing, which is correcting. It is able to correct our behavior. So not only is it able to point out our wrong behavior, but it's able to correct our wrong behavior. And that's where I guess it ties into the first point of teaching. So there's this element of correction and reforming our character and our life around the patterns and the ways and the principles of the Lord. He makes us new. The scriptures, as we engage with God's word, as we look at the implications for our lifestyle, as we apply the teaching of scripture, the Holy Spirit in us begins to make us new. It's almost like we don't need to try too hard. We simply need to feed our soul with God's word. And I'd like to read this from David Watson that I just found really helpful at this point when it comes to the engagement with God's word as a correcting tool. As I spent time chewing over the endless assurances and promises to be found in the Bible, so my faith in the living God grew strong and held me safe in his hands. God's word to us, especially his spoken word, his word spoken by his Spirit through the Bible, is the very ingredient that feeds our faith. If we feed our souls regularly on God's word several times each day, we should become robust spiritually, just as we feed on ordinary food several times a day, each day, and become robust physically. Nothing is more important than hearing and obeying God's word. You see, God's word is like food to us, and as we feed on it, it will correct our behavior as we walk in obedience to his word. And so finally, this sense of training in godliness. God wants us to be the kind of people he designed us to be, which to be in relationship with him. And so this idea of training, teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, is so that that our life is unhindered in our relationship with him and relationship with others. He actually wants to use our lives to radiate his glory and his majesty and his splendor in a dark world. And so this idea of training in godliness is so that we might be able to demonstrate in our mission what it looks like to be God's people. And so then the final thing, just to round this up, is so that the man of God, the person of God, may be complete and equipped for everything that God has called us to do. May God bless you.